The Wisconsin Professional Police Association is the only law enforcement organization nationwide that produces an annual survey on how police officers are doing in the eyes of the community. So this is the sixth annual poll. It's out today. We're talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin Professional Police Association represents local police, sheriff's deputies, and other officers. It serves more than 10,000 active and retired members and just over 300 locals. Executive Director Jim Palmer is here to talk about the survey, which tries to measure how Wisconsin residents are feeling about a variety of policing and justice issues. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So this is the sixth time that your association has done this type of polling. For those who aren't familiar with it, can you tell us a little bit about the history and why you do it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, our organization really has tried over the last several years to be a leader in the area of 21st century policing and the challenges that face not only the officers that police our communities, but the communities they serve as well. And, you know, all too often, the law enforcement policing issues are in the public discourse following a controversial incident.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to us, looking back, that, as soon as the media attention surrounding those, controversial events, diminished, so did the public dialogue. And we wanted to find a way to maintain that on a more consistent basis. And we think it served our organization and our members throughout the state very well. Every year we've been conducting this poll. We have questions that carry over from year to year. We ask about drug policies, body-worn cameras, community policing, gun control, and generally just how people feel about a variety of issues involving the police and the jobs that they do. And I think it's expanded our sensitivities, and it's really impacted our ability to, and facilitated our ability to have a dialogue with community leaders, particularly the communities of color. And it's also impacted how we publicly comment on policing issues and internally and as well as externally.
You release this polling data to the public, too. It's not like a poll you take and keep that information internal and say, oh, let's, figure out how we should do this better and this better. But you actually release it out there. What is the decision behind that?
Well, we really are looking for an objective measure, how people feel about law enforcement and the issues facing policing and our state as a whole. Warts and all, we want, those components, those dynamics to be part of the public community-wide dialogue throughout the state. When it comes to, the demographic distinctions, we think those are important things to acknowledge and to validate. And we also use the poll, frankly, to kind of as a platform to inform people. It's clear, we've been asking questions in our poll over the years about how, people's perceptions of law enforcement shootings. And we're able to, put those perceptions up against the reality, the facts that we maintain about the law enforcement shootings that occur in this state.
Well, you've called this year's poll the most revealing one to date, and we'll get into the specific results in just a moment. But generally, why are these results so revealing?
Well, I think they show a number of things. First, they show that the general public feels very good about law enforcement and the jobs and the dangerous jobs that they do. In fact, one of the questions we asked this year is whether or not what are people's perceptions about is the job of being a police officer today more dangerous? Do they feel it's more dangerous than it was 5 years ago? And a significant proportion of people do. And that's good for our members to see. Certainly that's the input that we are provided by our members. But a lot of the questions that we ask do carry over from year to year, so we can track trends. We can see where, whether it's demographically or overall, where there are changes. And we also try and ask questions that are new to kind of fit the current environment and what's going on, relative to issues like gun control and concealed carry and school shootings and things of that nature.
Well, there are plenty of places we could start this discussion on school shootings, but in light of what happened at a Texas high school last week, let's talk about school safety in light of Parkland, Florida, the school shooting earlier this year. Policymakers are proposing a variety of solutions, including arming teachers, and that specific proposal is one you asked about in the survey. What did you find?
Well, it was interesting. You know, our poll was just about to go to the field when the Parkland shooting occurred. And you know, one of the measures that all of a sudden had popped up, I think, in fact, President Trump was speaking about it in a way that we had never seen before, was the idea of allowing you know, teachers to carry guns in schools. And so we thought, well, that would be an interesting question to see how Wisconsinites feel about it. And what we found is that 57% of the respondents in our poll oppose such a measure, and only 39% favor it. Of those that oppose it, 64% of them were females, compared to 50% to males. And so those are, we just think those are interesting distinctions to note. I don't know that we've seen other organizations or other polls pose that question. And I think it's notable for a law enforcement group to pose that question, because these are issues, you know, we lobby more than any law enforcement group in the state. And so this this poll will help instruct us, give us some guidance as to the policies that we should pursue at the state level.
And I should add here very quickly that, so you had 400 or so respondents, and this poll took place end of February to end of March.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about some broader questions around gun control, more specifically concealed carry. And we'll remember that Wisconsin passed the concealed carry law in 2011. And you wanted to know if people are feeling more or less safe with that law in place. What did you find there?
Well, it was very interesting. This is a question that we also asked last year, I believe, for the first time. And we found that 39% of the respondents in Wisconsin found that they do feel that Wisconsin is safer since the law was changed in 2011 to allow the concealed carrying of weapons. 21% feel it's about the same, and 32% actually feel the state is less safe. Most notably, those that indicate that they feel it's less safe has nearly doubled since last year. Whereas the safer, the proportion of people that feel that the state is safer has stayed virtually the same.
So what might attribute to that increase of feeling less safe?
I think just the headlines that people see in the media, probably this news of school shootings does impact that as well, of course. But clearly there is, would appear that there is a shift, and has been a shift in terms of how people feel about concealed carry.
And some state lawmakers have been pushing to make Wisconsin a constitutional carry state, which would allow residents to carry concealed weapons without having to register with the state or get that training. So how is that idea being perceived by the polling, by the Wisconsin residents you poll?
Well, and that was a question that we included this year, and we kept it as straight as we could. We just simply asked, you know, do you favor or oppose allowing citizens to legally carry concealed weapons without any training? We never used the term constitutional carry, but that's essentially what constitutional carry is. You know, the bill that was introduced in this last two-year legislative session, I think, had over 60 co-sponsors, 60 lawmakers that had signed their name to it. What our poll found is that 94% of the respondents oppose that measure, and that was pretty startling to us. And this is an issue, notably, I think, that for us anyway, that there were no statistic significant differences amongst any of the demographic groups. So this is an area where people, there's a great deal of agreement.
From what you've seen, do Wisconsin police officers want more or fewer opportunities for state residents to carry guns? What is the sentiment on the side of policing?
Well, our organization is you know, historically been pretty split on the issue of concealed carry. Because we are the state's largest law enforcement group, what we've found is officers who work in more of the urban areas tend to be more opposed to it, whereas in the rural parts of the state, you know, the gun culture is different. There's more of a hunting culture and that kind of thing, so there's less of an opposition. What we have found is that, for the most part, officers don't feel as though the concealed, you know, a carry law change has made their jobs any more difficult. But we wanted to pose that question and see how the public feels as well.
And in these types of questions with constitutional carry and concealed carry, have you introduced these newly this year, or have they been trending through your poll in the last 6 years?
On the issue of you know, whether Wisconsin's safer since the concealed carry law was changed in 2011, that is a question that we posed last year.
Yep.
The question regarding allowing teachers to carry guns in schools and the constitutional carry questions were both new this year.
Do you intend to keep them in the future going forward, or does it just depend on what's on people's minds?
I think we'll probably keep both of those questions at least at a minimum for next year, but we'll see how much they are, continue to be a part of the statewide dialogue, and particularly within the concrete big top known as the state capitol.
The Wisconsin Law Enforcement Survey was carried out by St. Norbert College's Strategic Research Institute for 1 month, beginning in late February. We're exploring the findings. They had 400 respondents on issues like arming teachers, concealed carry, and police body cams. The head of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, Jim Palmer, is with us, gathering your questions, your insights on policing in your community at 800-642-1234. Are you satisfied with the work of your local police force? What shapes your opinion of the police and your local officers? What has worked in your community to build more trust between police and the public? Call in 800-642-1234. Join us by email, ideas@WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation after this news update here on the Ideas Network. Does having a well-funded police force improve quality of life? 93% agreed. What about, do you favor or oppose allowing citizens to legally carry concealed weapons without any training? 94% oppose. We're talking about the findings from the new Wisconsin Law Enforcement Survey conducted by St. Norbert College out today. It's the sixth annual poll. The Wisconsin Professional Police Association Executive Director Jim Palmer is with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join in with your questions, your perception of policing where you live, 800-642-1234. Are you satisfied with the work of your local police force? When it comes to concealed carry here in Wisconsin, how are you feeling about the law's impact? What else is on your mind when it comes to policing here in Wisconsin? Call in, email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to James, who's waiting in Brookfield. Hi, James.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I was wondering about the sample size of the poll. 400 people is a pretty small sample, and I'm wondering if there's any plan to increase the number of polls to maybe get a broader response across the state. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question, James. We appreciate it. And it's a question that we have received before. It is a standard polling size used by organizations like the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. And given that a lot of the questions that we pose each and every year, you know, the 6 years we've been doing this, given that those results are often pretty consistent, that does, in our mind, at least validate the results. And so, for the most part, our results have been very consistent over the years, and the sample size is something that's determined by the folks at St. Norbert's. We, in fact, you know, we'll go to the experts there and say, you know, these are the areas we'd like to, you know, get some assessment on in terms of perceptions, and let them formulate the questions, because we're not trying to, you know, we have no intent of getting a specific outcome. The idea is, you know, to use whatever outcome we receive in terms of the perceptions and the sentiments that are shared, and use those to advance a public dialogue.
So you're letting those experts do the data instruments.
That's exactly right, which is why, again, we released the report in its totality. I mean, we just think it's important to be very open and transparent and candid throughout the process. And I think it's, you know, important to note that, as you mentioned in your opening remarks, that you know, our organization is the only law enforcement group in the country that undertakes such an effort. And it's one, again, that we think has served our ability to play a more proactive role in these issues in terms of a community-wide and statewide dialogue.
Let's talk about the public perception of police officers, what you found with survey respondents about their local police force and whether they approve or disapprove of how they do their job. Generally, are people happy with their local police force?
Generally, they are. These are questions that we've asked over the years, and the results have been very consistent, as I just explained to James. And when we asked, you know, do people approve or disapprove of how their local police force is handling its, how it is handling its job, 45% strongly approve, 40% somewhat approve. And notable for us was that of those that approve, There was an 89 support approval rating amongst white respondents and a 62% approval rating for non-white respondents. And that to me, us, that's interesting. That's something that we should explore, not only as a statewide association, but as a law enforcement community, and find out why is there that disparity and what can we do to diminish it.
Generally, do people want more or less policing in their neighborhoods? What do you know?
Well, that question came as a result, you know, several years ago, I believe in the Madison area, there were some who were saying that, you know, that the certain communities didn't want the police in their neighborhood. And so we said, you know, that's an interesting question. We'd like to actually gauge the perceptions on that. What we found is that minorities in Wisconsin are either very content with the level of policing in their neighborhood, or they want more and at a higher rate than the white respondents. So to us, that was very instructive, and that's something, a question that will carry over year in and year out. I mean, it's what we found in these questions related to community policing in the past, last year in particular, was that, you know, what we took from last year's poll was that minority respondents were saying they do want more policing, and they were very specific about the kind of policing they wanted, which is community policing, officers in their community that forge those relationships, that can improve the level of trust and strengthen the relationship between those officers and the neighborhoods they serve.
Perhaps walking a beat, meeting residents,
really
out having a public face in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So do the numbers start to change when you do talk about white respondents versus non-white respondents? Because you've been talking a little bit here about some of those disparities.
There are some distinctions on some of the issues relative to how, you know, law enforcement approval ratings, not only amongst white and non-white respondents or minority respondents, but also the size of the community. So if you live in a larger community, it appears that, you know, you still have a pretty strong approval rating for your police, but it is, you know, decidedly less so than those who work live in rural areas, more rural areas. There are also some distinctions based upon age. Older respondents tend to think much more positively about law enforcement, and particularly those age groups that you might associate with starting families, they tend to place more value on public safety. And that those are some of the conclusions we've been able to draw from the results we've received.
Let's go back to the phones now with Rick waiting in Park Falls. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think this entire discussion basically covers up a really terrifying problem in this country, and with police specifically, and that is the enormously high rate of black-on-black homicide in all of our big cities, you know, Milwaukee, Baltimore. L.A. is a particular example where in the early 1990s there were more than 6,000 homicides in South Central L.A., in the Compton and Watts area in a three-year period. 80% of the victims were black. The fact that police departments are not allocating sufficient resources to an investigation of these homicides and the conviction and imprisonment of these perpetrators is leading to a situation where ordinary black people are just terrified to be in their inner city communities all over the United States. This is the kind of soft sort of racism of the Democrat Party.
And Rick,
Party runs all these big cities.
Rick, let's pause there and get some reaction here. Rick saying that we need a much more of a focus here on solving these homicides.
Well, I think that's, you know, the issue of how our law enforcement agencies are funded here in Wisconsin is a important priority, and one that we carry to the legislature each and every year as the state grapples with the state budgetary process. And law enforcement resources have declined, and the number of law enforcement officers policing our communities throughout the state have declined over the last several years. So those are important issues. I think it is important to note that while there are places like Milwaukee and urban areas like Chicago, obviously, is another one that's raised often. While there are those areas that have seen increases in homicides, overall, the crime rates have declined. And so we take from that law enforcement officers are doing their job, and they're doing more with less.
Well, talking a little bit more about race here, you asked some specific questions about things like racism in society, as well as the use of deadly force, which factors into this conversation. And there have been several high-profile examples of black men being fatally shot by police in recent years. So tell us about what you were looking at here.
Well, we've seen some polls on the national level in particular that they pose some of these questions, and we wanted to apply them specifically to Wisconsinites and see how they fared. And one question we asked is, how much of a problem do you feel racism is in our society? 38% of the respondents indicated that it's a major problem. 42% said it's somewhat of a problem. Interestingly for us is that of those that acknowledge racism as a problem, 88% of those were females and 71% were males. And so, again, there is a distinction for whatever reason, but it's one that we think it's important to acknowledge and explore. We did also ask a variety of questions relative to the public perception surrounding law enforcement's use of force. And as I mentioned earlier, we try to match those or pair those then with the statistics. And, in that way, the poll is a helpful vehicle for us to inform people. For example, we asked people to agree or disagree with the statement of, that most of the people who are shot by law enforcement officers in Wisconsin are African-American or member of a minority group. 22% indicated that they strongly agree. 34% said that they somewhat agree. The reality is that in 2017, 57% of those that were shot by individuals that were shot by Wisconsin law enforcement officers were white. And in 2016, that number was 70%. Hmm. So that's, we think, an important detail for us to get out there and to share. We also asked that in the past year, how many people fatally shot by Wisconsin police do you believe were armed? 31% said most, 41% said some. The reality is that in 2017, 92% of the individuals fatally shot by Wisconsin police officers were armed, and in 2016, that number was 100%. So I think when you compare those, put those perceptions against the reality, that can help give you a more informed perspective.
We are talking about the new Wisconsin law enforcement survey that was conducted by St. Norbert College, and Jim Palmer is with us. He's executive director of the Professional Police Association here in Wisconsin. You can join in with your questions and your stories. What shapes your opinion of the police and your local officers? What has worked in your community to build more trust between police and the public? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Nick from Glendale sent us an email, and he says, here in Glendale, it feels like the police department really protects and serves, doing things like fundraising with local groups, doing welfare checks for elderly and disabled residents. Nick says, we're also impressed officers who volunteer on their own time. It shows they truly care about the people in the community on a personal level. And congratulations to our police chief who is retiring this month. He's a real role model for our kids. So there in Glendale, Nick sees a real strong network.
That's wonderful. I appreciate him sharing that. That's a great perspective. And that's something that we hear locally all the time. That's something that doesn't always permeate to the top of the media cycle, news cycle. So it's great to hear those kinds of things from around the state at the local level.
Let's go to Steve now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. You know, one of the things that I read, and I think most people probably heard about it, but I don't know if they've actually read it, was the Ferguson report that after Michael Brown was shot with the, hands up, don't shoot. Well, I read that report, and the elephant in the room in that report wasn't about the racial element in terms of killing minorities. It was about how the police force is being used to bilk citizens out of money. And that was all over that report, how these cities try to just get money out of the citizens. In Madison, I think it's similar. I've been to traffic court. I've seen how the police do lie on the at the court. We have a chief of police, Koval, whose brother is also a municipal court judge.
So, Steve, I want to stop you right there. So you're concerned, too, about traffic stops and how they're handled and the respect between officers and the public. What is that tension like?
Well, I think, sorry that Steve, has had that experience. It's our view that anytime a law enforcement officer is found to have violated their oath, they shouldn't be a law enforcement officer. And, nobody wants a bad cop out of the profession more than a good one. And that's something as a statewide association that we have taken an active role on. Obviously, we do represent officers around the state when they're facing disciplinary action. But at the same time, when an officer has lied, for example, that's a serious offense, and that will most likely end their ability to serve as a law enforcement officer, and that's not a bad thing. You know, clearly there are some trust issues that we wanted to work on. At the same time, you know, law enforcement officers have a horrendously difficult and challenging job, and they're oftentimes, you know, charged, not oftentimes, they are charged with enforcing laws that they had no role in writing. And sometimes, you know, officers have to bear the brunt of enforcing those laws. And obviously, people identify them as the problem. And in many respects, that's unfairly so.
One of the biggest pushes in recent years has been to get police officers to wear body cameras. And certainly some Wisconsin departments have already adopted body cams, but others have not. So what did your polling explore in that area?
Well, this is a question that we've asked for the last 4 years now, and simply the question was, would you favor or oppose requiring law enforcement officers to wear body video cameras? This year's results were the most overwhelming we've received to date. 94% of the respondents favor that, and that's the highest score in 4 years, and in fact, it represents a 10-point jump just from 2017 when it was 84%. Body-worn cameras have really proliferated throughout the country and throughout Wisconsin as well. Unfortunately, that has not occurred in Madison. And I think, you know, because our poll has been able to not only ask about, you know, people's feelings and support of body-worn cameras, but also how they feel about law enforcement officers. I think if you'd asked, you know, police officers, you know, individually or generally a few years ago, they're very suspect of this new technology and how it will be used and applied to them. But when you can show them that the public supports the job that they do, but they also support having this heightened technology available to them, I think the officers' perceptions of body-worn cameras as a result of our public poll have evolved dramatically. And I think that's why you're seeing more and more agencies throughout the state and country that are adopting them.
Do you think the adoption of body cameras has increased trust between police officers and the public? Has it made a difference at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As someone who, has individually represented officers facing, you know, investigations for things like officer-involved deaths or officer-involved shootings, I can tell you that, you know, body-worn cameras, more often than not, will protect officers and provide not only protect officers, but also provide some additional insights to the public, and put to rest the ability of skeptics to question the job and the jobs that law enforcement officers have to do and the decisions they had to make.
The Urban Institute recently released a review of the body cameras worn by Milwaukee police, and their takeaway was that while the cameras may have changed some officer behavior, instances of force remain the same. What is your reaction to that?
Well, we've seen a number of studies around the country that have come up with similar results. The largest study to date actually came out of Washington, D.C. last year and had the same conclusion. And there could be a variety of reasons of that. While there are more and more studies coming out all the time on the use of body-worn cameras and their effects, there's much more evaluation and assessment that needs to be done. So I'm just like with the Milwaukee report, the Washington, D.C. report concluded that, you know, the decline in the use of force, or the fact that body-worn cameras had no impact on the use of force, could stem from other things, stem from the community-wide dialogue, sensitivity amongst officers, training, more information. I mean, just a variety of factors. So there are other reports out there that have come up with similar conclusions.
We're talking about the survey takeaways with Jim Palmer on the morning show. He's executive director of the Professional Police Association here in Wisconsin, gathering your insights as well. 800-642-1234. What shapes your opinion of the police and your local officers? What's worked in your community to build trust? We're talking about the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Survey. You can join in the conversation. We'll get back to the discussion after this latest news here on the Ideas Network. Do you approve or disapprove how your local police force handles its job? 45% strongly approve, 40% somewhat approve. What about the amount of time police spent in neighborhoods? 73% of respondents said it's about right. We're digging into the new Wisconsin Law Enforcement Survey out today here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the sixth annual poll conducted by St. Norbert College's Strategic Research Institute. The Wisconsin Professional Police Association's Executive Director Jim Palmer stays with us. Your perceptions, your questions about policing here in Wisconsin, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. What shapes your opinion of the police and your local officers? When it comes to concealed carry here in Wisconsin, how are you feeling about the law's impact? And do we need more or fewer laws when it comes to guns? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Let's go to Vince joining us in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Vince. Hi, Vince. Yeah, go ahead.
Just after the body cams were brought up, it's nice if people want to implement them, but looking just west of here at Minneapolis, how there was the killing of the yoga teacher and they didn't have the body cameras on, and then afterwards they swore that they were going to ensure that body cameras are on, and more recently there's been an article saying they're still not following that stuff or following the request that the body cameras be on. It seems like a false sense of security, maybe for the public, that cops have body cameras if no one's going to enforce that they get used. And the question is, why isn't there any repercussions for not using them, like severe repercussions? I think in general it comes back to if teachers can't have a union, the cops shouldn't either in this state of Wisconsin.
Well, Vince, let's get Jim to respond to that question.
Well, I appreciate the question, Vince. You're right insofar as, body-worn cameras can be a valuable resource, but only if they're turned on. And the prevailing best practices that we've seen represented in policies around Wisconsin and around the country do have strict requirements as to when the cameras must be activated. And they also have strict penalties if those cameras aren't turned on when they should be. You also have to understand, though, at the same time, if a camera is not on all the time, and I think, there aren't any groups currently that insist that that be the case, the job of a law enforcement officer, they face exigent circumstances all the time. And so there are going to be times when, I think the policies have to be sensitive to that. But we would agree. I think, aside from, Minneapolis, which following that incident, they have adopted stricter penalties for not activating the camera. I think we've seen time and time again where body cameras have been released publicly and have played a significant role in helping quell any uncertainty about a police officer's actions.
What example might that be? What would be a good example of that?
Well, we've had a number of incidents just in Wisconsin where both body-worn cameras and squad video have been released to help. For example, they were shooting just off the top of my head last year in Lincoln County, where it was a road stop, roadside stop. A car was on the side of the road. Officer got out, and the individual immediately pulled a firearm and shot several times. In fact, a bullet went through the windshield of that deputy's vehicle and hit the headrest of the seat he'd just been sitting in. And so, again, being able to have that video and have it released in close proximity to the incident, I think helps answer some of the public's questions. And they're legitimate questions.
Let's go to Tim joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Tim.
Hi. You had mentioned 70% white people shot, 30% people of color shot. I'm wondering if you can compare those to the actual number of people in Wisconsin. Just a quick Google search showed me that it was about 6.1% of the population is of African American descent. So to me, there just still seems to be quite a disparity there.
Well, I think it's true that the proportion of those shot does not represent the demographic makeup of the state. Whether or not that should be the case, I'll leave that for others to decide. Our role, we think, we're the only organization in the state that not only that in the country that not only provides puts together this poll, but in Wisconsin, we're the only organization or agency that collects data relative to officer-involved shootings and shares it publicly. And again, warts and all. And we think that if you look at the number, regardless of the demographic makeup, the fact that, you know, 92% of the individuals shot by officers last year were armed and 100% the year before the individuals shot were armed, I think that should take, to a significant degree, race out of the equation.
You also included some questions about drug policy here in Wisconsin, mainly about marijuana and opioids. Can you talk about what you asked there, what you found?
Absolutely. Our organization, and law enforcement generally, has been historically pretty opposed to legalizing marijuana. But obviously, this is an issue that is going to continue to come up and be pressed. And so we wanted to see how Wisconsinites felt about it and use the results to perhaps instruct or guide our position on those on these issues. For example, we asked, you know, should marijuana be legal to use in Wisconsin for medical and recreational purposes? 39% of the respondents said yes. Should it be made legal only for medical purposes? 45% yes. You know, the fact that a vast majority of Wisconsinites, according to our poll, support making marijuana legal in one capacity or another, we found that to be just simply amazing. Only 15% of the respondents in our poll said that marijuana should not be made legal under any circumstances. That's not.
And did you see any breakdown there between male, female, rural, urban?
Yes, we did. More males at about 47% than females at 32% feel that marijuana should be made medically and recreationally legal. While more females and males feel marijuana should be made medically legal only. And so those are fascinating results to us. And I think, you know, one of the reasons you do a poll is to, you know, either confirm or challenge your perceptions on issues, our perception as an organization on issues. And that was one area where we were very surprised at the results.
So we touched on a lot of areas here so far. What are some of the other big takeaways from this survey that we haven't talked about?
Well, you know, when we started doing this poll once upon a time, it kind of started from the fact that we had seen, you know, state and national polls that asked respondents, asked people to, you know, rank in terms of priority you know, local governmental services. And, you know, whether it's protecting the environment or education or, you know, creating jobs, cutting taxes, that kind of thing. And we couldn't recall and couldn't find a poll that actually included a public safety component. And so, again, you know, we wanted to kind of either challenge or confirm our insights on that. We felt like it would public safety would rank high, but the question hadn't been asked. So we wanted to make sure we posed that. And we were gratified with the results. This year, for example, 76% other respondents indicated that keeping the community safe from crime should be a top priority, and that has been the case all 6 years that we've been running the poll. And that's something that is helpful for us. You know, we've been talking for many years that public safety is a core service, and that if we diminish the value of public safety, all the other services that a local government can provide will suffer as well. And so this helps confirm that that understanding.
So here we are with these poll results. It's in the sixth year. We're wondering, what do you do with this information now? How do you take concrete action from these poll results?
Well, one, you know, when we approach each and every legislative session, we look at we're faced with a number of issues involving policing and criminal justice. Having these results and having a better understanding of how the public feels about them can help guide us. It can help perhaps potentially soften our feelings towards some of those issues. But it also enables us to go around the state and to have, you know, wonderful conversations like this and talk about these issues and engage the public and, you know, other communities of color in particular, about the jobs that police officers do and the dangerous jobs that they do. And so we think there's just tremendous value in being able to maintain a more consistent public discourse on the issues related to policing, and not just in the wake of a controversial incident, because, as I said at the, you know, early on in this interview, when the media attention surrounding a controversial incident dissipates, so does the public discourse, and we just can't have that.
Jim Palmer, what is the toughest challenge facing police departments today in your mind here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think one of the most significant challenges today, and we hear this from law enforcement agencies all throughout the state, in fact, all throughout the country, is the difficulty that agencies are having in attracting and retaining qualified officers. There are fewer and fewer people entering the profession, and we are very concerned, and officers are very concerned about the long-term impact that that will have on policing and on the profession.
Do we know why that is?
We don't know why that is, and I believe it could stem from, you know, just the public perception, the media attention. I think people recognize, as our poll shows, that the job is more and more dangerous. Officers face a tremendous amount of scrutiny, fairly or unfairly. But they have a very, very difficult job. And one of the things that we try to do in addition to using this poll and disseminating data and maintaining a public discourse is talk about the great deeds that they do and the wonderful work they do each and every day to keep our community safe.
And are you going to be using this poll to craft future policies or legislation coming down the pike? And what is that type of legislation you are working on?
Well, that will be obviously a work in progress. Right now, We're still, sharing the results of this latest poll. To give you an example, though, going back several years ago, in 2014, Wisconsin became the first state in the country to mandate independent investigations of officer-involved deaths. And we were grateful and pleased to help play a leading role in that becoming law and working with citizen advocates around the state to make that a reality. And today, Wisconsin's really only one of three states that has such a requirement. We believe that law has served us well. We ask questions about that issue as it in the waning days of the legislative session in which it became law, and then use those results to encourage and persuade lawmakers to have a vote. And we think the poll played a critically important component in making that law possible.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for making time for us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Jim Palmer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. The group, along with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, they just released the 2018 Wisconsin Law Enforcement Survey, which tries to measure about how Wisconsin residents are feeling about a variety of policing and justice issues. The association represents more than 10,000 active officers and sheriff's deputies and retired members in just over 300 locals. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.